Welcome to The Wonder, exploring perspectives, rituals, and observances of modern, naturalistic, earth-revering, pagan religious paths. Here are your hosts, Yucca and Mark.
Welcome back to The Wonder. Today, Mark and I, we're going to be talking about the current situation with the COVID-19 virus. So welcome, Mark.
Thank you. It's kind of an amazing time, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. And we're actually, we had a few podcasts already recorded and prepped, ready to go, but we are stepping out of that order to record this podcast because it seems like it's a very important subject to talk about and is really affecting everyone's life. So we wanted to pause and do this episode for you before continuing to the other ones we already recorded.
That's right. Obviously, this is the subject that is on the mind of everyone in the world, pretty much. And there's just so much to say about it. There's our feelings about it and our wishes for other people. There's our understanding of what it means in the greater context of things. And that has everything to do from the ecological to the political to the economic. There's all of the adaptation strategies that we need to explore in order to keep ourselves centered and grounded and not panicking at this time. So those are the kinds of things that we're going to talk about in today's podcast. And it's entirely unscripted. We don't have our usual list of questions. And so there may be some ums and ers here and there. But we just felt that it was really important to get something out that our listenership could hear right away about the COVID-19.
Yeah. So actually, do we want to start by sharing a little bit about how we are doing? Like, how are you doing with this, Mark?
Sure. I work for a nonprofit agency that provides food to people with serious illnesses. Started out as an organization serving those with HIV, and a few years ago expanded to people with other serious medical conditions like congestive heart failure, diabetes, cancer, so forth. So we are an essential service, an essential industry, and we continue to serve our clients who would not be eating if we didn't provide them with food. So we are still in operation. I'm going to work every day, but our operations have been changed dramatically. We depend on a large core of volunteers to help us to pull together the grocery orders for our clients and then serve the clients. Most of those volunteers are no longer coming in at this time for various reasons. Many of them are over 65 or immunocompromised. So I'm basically doing two jobs. Half of my day is now spent working in the food bank, collecting food orders together and providing them to clients. We're not letting clients into the building. We're serving them in our parking lot, and we're doing a tremendous amount of sanitation and hand washing at work. That said, we are 15 staff, and all of us have our own little social circles, and we're in a tiny office, so it's very hard to stay 6 feet away from one another. The other half of my job is doing my real job, which is raising money to support the organization. And I won't even go into all the ways that that has become strange, but certainly events are being canceled. Funders are reworking their priorities to address the primary needs of the COVID-19 epidemic or pandemic. So it's a very strange time, and I'm worried about being a vector and getting sick myself because I'm going out into the world every day and encountering other people. So mm-hmm. that's basically what's going on with me.
Wow, yeah. So it seems like every facet of your life is being affected right now.
Except for this one. still able to work on the podcast and the blog. And actually,
that's right, yeah.
In my copious free time, I've started outlining a second book. So I don't know when that will come to fruition, but at least the beginning has started.
Yeah. That's wonderful. So I look forward to hearing more about it and reading it when it happens.
Me too.
Yeah.
Seems like a long way off right now. Now it's just a 2-page Word document with a table of contents being formed.
That's how the first one started though, right?
Yes, it is.
So, great.
How about you? What is this being like for you right now?
Yeah, well, we as a family started self-isolating before. I'm in New Mexico, and we actually, our governor has been very clear about the self-isolation policies, but we started doing that before all of it happened. So we're definitely at a point where we're feeling very cabin feverish. But I actually am blessed that most of our income comes from online. So I'm a teacher online. I work with students. I teach science. And it's the number of students has quadrupled that I'm teaching, because it used to be just homeschoolers, but now there's the students from public school as well. And it's, you know, you can't have a class without the kids wanting to talk about what's going on, how it's affecting them in their lives. Even if our subject is what's gravity and how's gravity work, you know, they want to talk with someone, they want to connect with someone. So it's something that I think I haven't really been able to get away from for a couple weeks now. And then I have my little ones at home, which are asking to go out, and they want to see their grandmother, but we just can't go to see the grandmother because, you know, she's immunocompromised. She's got pre-existing medical conditions, is in her 70s, and we just do not want to risk being able to expose her to anything. So it's definitely an emotional strain for the family. But we are blessed in that financially we aren't in as dire situation as some of our close friends and family that don't have their jobs anymore. Yes. A lot of them have been laid off or don't know when their business is going to open again, if it will be able to. So, and I know on an emotional level, I was really sitting with it last night and thinking about how much stress there is and anxiety, and how that's, I feel that in my body just walking around. It's just so present and oppressive. It's definitely a challenge to figure out how to try to live with that and continue with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that one of the things that's happening right now is that we're all in the position, except for people who are in Italy and France and Iran and China, people in the rest of the world are still waiting for the other shoe to drop. We're waiting for the big ramp up of sick people, and it's coming. And it's scary to know that it's coming, because we don't know whether we're going to be one of them or not, or people that we love are going to be among them. The good news, which is so important to stay focused on, is that even though this disease is considerably more deadly than the flu, still that only means that about 2 out of every 100 people die from it. And that is a lot.
Who gets sick?
Yes, of those who get sick. Of those who get sick, which will be something like 40 to 70% of the people in the country will be infected, is the estimate, depending on how successful we are at doing all of the curve flattening that we've been talking about, staying separate, not passing on this virus. If we're successful, we'll keep that down to maybe 15% of the people in the country. And then of those 15%, about 2% will die. So that's still hundreds of thousands of people, and it's going to be a really, really serious impact to our society. It's going to be a tragedy. But if we do what we need to do now, it won't be nearly as big a tragedy as it could be. And the overwhelming majority of us are going to live. So it's important for us to keep that in mind.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've been reflecting upon is that humans, we've been doing this for as long as we've been living in large groups. As long as we've been in civilization, we've had these cycles. And our generations have just been very, very lucky that it hasn't happened yet. We were talking a little bit about that before we hit the record button.
Yes, the closest corollary that we've had, of course, is HIV.
Yeah.
And, you know, HIV was and is a terrible, terrible tragedy. But it has one good thing about it, which is that it's really pretty hard to get. It's not airborne.
Yeah.
You can't pick it up off of surfaces. It's only sexually communicated or by blood transfusion. And given what a horrible disease it is, that is a bullet that we really dodged. I mean, I remember in the early 80s when it was just coming to light and we didn't know. Nobody knew whether you could catch HIV from a toilet seat. We didn't even know that they didn't have a term for it yet. And we didn't know that it was caused by the HIV virus. We hadn't identified that yet. So there was this terror of this disease that, you know, crashed your immune system and made you open to all these cancers and wasting away and all this, maybe being communicable by touch. And I'm old enough to remember that panic, and I was living in San Francisco at the time. And people were dying around me. But this is a much more widespread challenge because everybody has to breathe. Everybody has to touch things. Everybody has to eat. Everyone, nearly everyone, is in contact with other humans. And all of those are vectors for possibly passing this along.
Yeah.
So I guess the thing that I would like to say to our listeners more than anything else is to be of stout heart. Know that humans have lived through this sort of thing before. In fact, before the advent of modern medicine and sanitation and our understanding of germ theory, it used to happen very frequently, even up through the 19th century. Of course, the last great plague that we had was the influenza pandemic of 1918. But that was right at the moment when modern medicine was really starting to kick in. We were developing the first antibiotics and so forth. And sanitation and antiseptic medical practices had really come to be the standard just mm-hmm. within the previous 10 or 15 years. So we've been lucky. We've been fortunate. But it was inevitable that something like this was going to happen sooner or later. When you have a very large population of one kind of organism, eventually some opportunistic parasitical creature is going to find a way to take advantage of that. And that's what's happening now with this virus.
Yeah.
But we will get through it. We will come to a day when we're on the far side of the COVID-19 pandemic. And in the meantime, just be strong. Remember that it's going to work out okay in the long run. And do all those things that you need to do to take care of yourself and your loved ones.
Do we want to talk about some specific techniques or practices that people could really focus on right now to help with some of what you were just saying?
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
One of the things that we benefit from as naturalistic pagans is that we understand that our ritual practices are they're brain hacking. They're ways of working with our psychology in order to help us to be happier and more balanced and more effective in the world. And now is the time that we need those techniques. Mm-hmm. We need the techniques that will reduce anxiety and that will give us a sense of the big picture and a sense of connectedness to the universe and of belonging and of being a part of a larger society, even if we can't go out and engage with it right now. So I really
encourage...
At least
not on a physical... At least not physically, but we have this beautiful tool of our mass communication that allows us to do things like what we're doing right now.
Which is kind of miraculous when you think about it. This kind of pandemic experience has never been experienced before in an era when we have easy, cheap, and high-grade mass communications all over the world. And I was just on a Facebook thread just an hour ago or something like that, and people were saying, okay, if this were 1918, how would you be entertaining yourself while you were sequestered in your house? Go. and the answers were things like, well, laudanum, reading books, cocaine, all these, you know, relatively self-destructive kinds of things for people to entertain themselves. So we have the advantage of actually being able to dial somebody up on Zoom or on Facebook Hangouts and engage with them face to face as if we're having a conversation in the same room. And that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, continue. I was just agreeing with you. I was yesing.
It remains to be seen how well our internet infrastructure is going to hold up with all the additional streaming video that's going on. I will pass along one tip, which is that I have heard that most of the server capacity that is required by services like Zoom and Skype and so forth is impacted at the top of the hour because that's when people tend to schedule their meetings. It's the making of those connections in the first place and establishing the streams that takes the most computing capacity on the part of their servers. So it's better if you schedule your meeting with your mother-in-law or whatever it is at 15:45 or 20:20, because the servers will be more available to serve you then than they are at the top of the hour when most people are setting their meetings.
That's fascinating. Yeah, that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah, that also reflects, I spend a lot of time on Zoom, so that reflects my experience with it, actually, with the difficulties. Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing to know. I learned this from a friend of mine, a member of my ritual circle, who is a software and hardware engineer. He's kind of a computer genius. And it made utter sense to me as soon as he said it. But I never would have thought of it if he hadn't understood the kind of the way the back end works, right?
Yeah. Or known to even think about that as an issue.
Yeah, I just know the damn thing isn't working. Yeah. I'm not quite at the point where I want to bang on my machine, but I'm not a hardware guy by any means.
Yeah, we've all been there, though.
Oh yes, oh yes. I've been ready to throw mine out a window a time or two.
So circling back around, though, we were talking about how the at times like this, our ritual practice can be really so powerful and critical. I also want to encourage people to remember the physical self-care, remembering to take care of yourself in terms of give yourself enough sleep, turn those screens off, half an hour or a couple hours before it's time for bed. And even though we're all, hunkered down in our houses, try and get some sunlight on your face for a few minutes, especially in the morning. And just those physical things that are realities for us as animals can make just profound differences on how we feel and how we manage stress throughout our days.
Yes. Yes. I really encourage people to get outside to unpopular places in nature. And the reason I say that is that the popular places are being swamped with people and it's unsafe. I live on the California coast, and we had a terrible problem this weekend with floods of people running out to the beach. And it's just not safe to have that many people congregating together. So if you know a little state—
It doesn't matter whether inside or outside.
Right, exactly. So if you know of a little state park that has a pretty hike, but it isn't the kind of place that has floods of people take advantage of it, go and take that hike. You know, so you don't see many, if any, people along the trail, but get out into nature. Now is a great time to do it. There's less air travel, there's less traffic noise, all of those things. And it is spring in many places. Some places it still hasn't gotten here yet. And of course, in the whole Southern Hemisphere, it's not spring, it's turning into fall. But both of those are very beautiful times of year. And it's good for you to breathe some fresh air and put your feet on the ground and see a tree mm-hmm. and do all those important things that we need to do as animals.
And if you have the opportunity, put some seeds in the ground.
Yeah. Yes.
Get some soil underneath your fingernails and watch something grow. Be part of that.
I don't know if this is true everywhere, but in my local area, the garden and agricultural supply stores are considered essential industries because we have a lot of agriculture here and a lot of people who grow their own food. Mm-hmm. So you can get your vegetable starts. You can get your, all those things that you would be doing in the spring anyway. This is an opportunity to put in a garden.
And in fact, if you're on EBT, your food stamps should cover seeds and starts as well if the store is set up to take them.
I'd forgotten about that. That's right. Yeah. That's really important.
So, and I'm personally not expecting that the whole food chain is going to get disrupted at this point, but at least on a massive level, I think a lot of that will still continue to keep moving. But I think it feels nice to have that little backup of having your own little, they called it a victory garden. I've heard people starting to call them resilient gardens now.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think it's possible that international food shipments may be disrupted.
Yeah, I think there's going to be issues, but I don't think we're going to not be able to get food at all.
No, I don't think so either. And the kind of, you know, rush buying and hoarding that's happening at grocery stores right now is really unnecessary.
It was actually my husband was at the store this morning and sent me photographs of the shelves, and they're just barren completely.
Yes.
And things too that is just, you know, people, all of the pet food mm-hmm. gone, you know, all of the sanitary items just gone. And for anyone who doesn't have the opportunity to go and hoard, you know, they're in a really hard position.
Yes.
When, you know, they need to get some toilet paper or they need to feed their animal.
So, my organization actually has been, with each grocery order that we're providing for our clients, we're including two rolls of toilet paper because it's so hard to get. And that's just ridiculous. It makes no sense whatsoever. We've also had a large amount of cat and dog food donated to us. And so for our clients who have pets, we're also providing them with that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's important when you're buying things not to think, oh, I need to snap this up because it'll be gone, but to think, well, how much of this do I really need? And what about the next person who also really needs it? Because if there's anything that's true about this pandemic, it's that we truly are all in this together. US senators have now tested positive for this thing. The nations of the world are all subject to this virus. And we really need to be thinking about taking care of one another as well as ourselves.
Yeah.
So let's go back to talking about the meditative and ritual techniques that we can do that are helpful. I know that I like to just light the candles on my focus or altar every night and just kind of soak up how pretty it is. It's filled with all of these symbolic objects that speak to me of how I got them or where they came from or what they mean. And with the flickering candlelight, it's just a very aesthetic, sort of witchy, wonderful thing to experience. And it fills me with a warm glow, and that helps me to know that fundamentally everything's okay. I'm not much of a meditator. I have too short an attention span for meditation, but for people that are meditators, I think now is a great time to, you know, rekindle your practice if you've let it lapse. Spend half an hour every day in meditation. If you have a harder time with doing meditation, just in terms of blanking your mind, do guided visualizations. There are lots of them available. Yucca has some
just to put a plug up. Nature Guided Meditations is a podcast that I do.
So that's one option. There are many others on YouTube. I've got a few of them on my website as well, a couple of them. So
a lot of free resources for that.
There are. And once again, we are really, I don't like this word, but for want of any other, we're really blessed by the fact that our technology enables us to have all of those resources available for free to us now. So the key point, I think, is proactively do something to address your mood, your level of anxiety, and your overall feeling about life. Don't just let it sit and get caught up in all of the tasks that have to be done in order to keep things going in this difficult time. Take some time to work on your emotional state as well as the physical realities of what you have to contend with.
And don't wait for it to become overwhelming before you start to address it before it gets too big.
Yes. Because there's kind of a roller coaster effect that can happen with mood. And I have experience of this because I live with depression. Unfortunately in remission right now with a great medicine cocktail, but I've been through very, very serious depressions. And I'm pretty familiar with this. What happens is the roller coaster effect is this sort of slow climb where it'll go on for days and days and days and days and days. And then finally you get to a breaking point and you plunge down. And by the time you've gotten there, it's very hard to catch yourself. And those kind of maintenance activities aren't as effective as they used to be. So it's better to work on keeping yourself from climbing up to that height in the first place. Mm-hmm. So I don't honestly think, I mean, we don't need for this podcast to go on at any particular length. We just wanted to say to everyone that we're thinking about you. And we hope that you'll do everything that you need to in order to take care of yourselves. And
we're all in this together.
Yes. Yes, very much so. We are all in this together. We'll be back next week with a regular podcast that we recorded about 2 weeks ago. But if it helps, you know, cue this up again. Remind yourself of ways that you can help yourself and ways that you can get through this difficult time. And don't forget that if you really are having difficulty, there are hotlines and chat lines and many, many resources for people that are suffering with mental health challenges at this time. There's no shame in it. And it's really important that you take care of yourself because you're important.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Yucca. I look forward to talking with you again on a cheerier note when we record again next. My very best to you and your family.
Likewise. And
thank
stay
you so
healthy.
Much. All right, you too. Okay, until the next.
And if any of you would like to suggest any topics or have any questions that you would like us to cover, please email us at thewonderpodcastqs@gmail.com. That's QS, thewonderpodcastqs@gmail.com.